Lord, we ask that by your grace, you would speak to us and minister to us this evening. In your power, may we leave this place changed and go out in your name to be salt and light in the world. Amen. I'm sure if you've ever preached or perhaps led a Bible study or any kind of group or gathering looking at Scripture together, you've felt a sense of inadequacy. It's such an awesome task to be able to unpack the Word of God with the people of God. I don't know if anyone can relate to that sense of inadequacy. I certainly feel that way, and I don't know if I'd ever want to lose that sense. But this evening, my inadequacy is double because, as Rob has already explained, we are continuing just the second in our series on postcards from various places, from this evening onwards, from places in Scripture. And to be honest with you, I can't remember having ever written a postcard in my life. I'm sure I might have done, maybe, but I definitely can't remember it. So much so, I wasn't sure whether to share this prop or not. But when I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, my grandmother brought me the Golden Age of Teddy Tum Tum correspondence set. And the plan was we were living a long way away from my grandmother at the time, and that I would write to her and she would write back. Sad to say that actually there are still lots of postcards in here, lots of envelopes and lots of letter paper. So if you, after this evening, are inspired to write a postcard, there are some there that you're welcome to use. But so kind of feeling a little bit inadequate around what to even put on a postcard. So I did what I guess everyone does when you're not sure of what to do in a situation. My Google search led me to a blog entitled 10 topic ideas for writing on the back of your postcard. I prayed as well, but I did go to Google. If you're struggling with inspiration on your next holiday, I can encourage you to find 10 topic ideas for writing on the back of a postcard. It was really helpful, and perhaps maybe now some of them will get used. This evening, as we explore the passage that Mary read to us from Genesis 2, we aren't really spoilt for choice when it comes to who the author of our postcard could be. Who could our postcard be from this evening? Well, the passage begins at a time before time began, where there was only one witness. This evening, our postcard is from God. So what I'll do is I'll read a section of the postcard, followed by a little bit of an explanation, and you may well want to follow with the passage in front of you on page 4 of the church Bibles, or another page in your own Bibles. May well be page 4, but anyway. And I'll read a section of the postcard, give a little bit of an explanation, and then when we've gone through the postcard from beginning to end, I'll read it in its entirety to hopefully feel the flow of what it is that God may be saying to us through our passage this evening. So our postcard begins, "My beloved." God speaks to you and to me from before, or maybe just after, the beginning of time, and he calls us his beloved. I don't know if God were to write a postcard to you, what greeting, what salutation you'd expect. But that's what God is saying to us this evening. You are my beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 tells us that God chose us in Christ before the beginning of creation, before the beginning of creation of the whole world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. The prophet Jeremiah describes God's love for his people as being everlasting, not just starting at that moment and continuing forever, but from everlasting to everlasting. You and I have always been God's beloved. As someone who, in human terms, was very much an unexpected accident, I take great comfort in the fact, in the reality, that God loved me from the beginning of time. It may be that some of us this evening have carried, maybe at the forefront or maybe just the back of our minds, through all of our life, the label of unwanted or unexpected or unplanned. It might be that there's some truth in that in human terms, but there is no truth in it in God's reality. God begins his speaking to us with the words, "My beloved." You and I have always been the beloved of God. And so the postcard continues. Before the beginning of time, I was there. God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Before there was anything that your eyes have ever seen, I was there. It's easy to believe that things have always been the way that we know them, and that they'll always be the way that they are now. It's easy to believe that the prevailing patterns of this world will always have their way. But God speaks to us, and he says to us, remember, before all that you know, before any of these patterns, before anything that you've experienced or seen, anything that you hold to be true other than God himself, he was there. He was present, existing in perfect harmony, Father, Son, and Spirit. He was complete within himself before all worlds. One of my favorite hymns, and it's taken on various expressions throughout the years, is "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And one of the lines, the lyrics that people dislike in that chorus or that hymn is the line, "My anchor holds within the veil." And some versions have actually changed it to say something different. But I take great comfort in those words. My anchor holds within the veil. Our hope, our anchor, our security is found in the place that has always been and always will be, in the very presence of God. The correct view of God, the God who is from eternity and to eternity, is the only correct reference point for all of the rest of human existence. If we try to understand life before we understand, or without understanding, that God is before all worlds, then we'll struggle to make sense. We'll struggle to find our place. We'll struggle to find our hope. But tonight we're being invited afresh to remember and to hold on to the anchor that holds within the veil of God's presence from everlasting to everlasting. So the postcard continues, "I created out of nothing, and at the pinnacle of my creating, I formed you out of the dust that I had spoken into being. Then I breathed my life into you." Unlike anything else within the created order, humanity, you and I, all human beings throughout time, have been made to carry the breath of God. Human beings are made both natural, both soil, and supernatural, the breath of God. You were made to be both a natural and a supernatural being. That is God's intention. The postcard continues, "You were created for intimacy with me." Intimacy is a word that carries so many difficult connotations for us, and we often shy away from. But the reality is that molded earth became humanity effectively through a kiss, through God's divine kiss, breathing his life into humanity. The very first moments of human existence were moments face to face with God. The moments after that first breath were face to face with God. But yet we spend so much of our time running away from that intimacy that we were created for. The postcard continues. I am love itself, its author and its only perfecter. So in this garden, I give you a choice. Respond to my love with your own, or choose to go your own way. So much could be said, has been said, will go on being said about the significance of verse 17 of our passage, the instruction not to eat of the tree. What's that all about? Why? Why a tree that we can't eat? What's the significance? What does it mean? Why would God do that? There's so many right and correct things that could be said, but at its heart this evening, I want us to think about the fact that in the perfection of Eden, God shows his heart for true relationship. God knows, as the author of love, as the perfecter of love, as love itself, God knows that love is only truly love when it's chosen, when it's a choice. And so God presents those that he's made with that choice. God presents Adam with the choice. One of the things that I've been struck by afresh recently, just over the last few weeks, is that it seems that throughout Scripture, and this is probably everyone else is aware of this all the time, but I often need to be reminded quite obviously by God about things, which is just as well. But it seems that throughout Scripture, I don't know if people are aware of love languages. That's something that Becky and I did in preparation for marriage. Our vicar sat us down and got us to do if you're not aware of love languages, they're kind of, I think, five different ways that we as human beings have been categorized as giving and receiving love. So Becky and I sat down and we filled out a questionnaire, and our vicar sat us down and said, Luke, do you realize that Becky mostly receives love through, I think it was expensive gifts, wasn't it? Expensive gifts and more expensive gifts were Becky's two ways of receiving love. And I think mine was, I don't know, I'm just easygoing, so I can't remember. So love languages, it seems to me that throughout Scripture, what we're presented with is that God's language of receiving love is obedience. It's really difficult for us because that sounds like, in our current climate, it's manipulation, but it's not. The way that we demonstrate and the way that our love for God is understood by God is through our obedience to him, through his to his ways, to his will. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We can say that we love God all that we like, but that's truly demonstrated, evidenced in our obedience to his ways. In Eden, God gives Adam and Eve the ability to demonstrate their love for him by choosing to live in obedience to him. As I'm sure we're all aware, they chose instead to go their own way, the way that leads to death. It leads to death, unsurprisingly, because it separates them from the very source and author of life. This pattern of choosing apart from God, choosing away, choosing sin, is so deeply ingrained into humanity that it's become part and parcel of our nature. The psalmist David writes, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Our choosing away from God is so deeply ingrained that it's become part of what it means to be human. God gives that choice, the choice to obey. This gift of choice is perhaps the most costly sacrifice a creator can ever make, a sacrifice made for the sake of love. So we continue. You were made to be in relationship, in fellowship, in communion. And I've given you authority. God says, know the joy of presiding over creation with me. My intention is for you to live without shame, knowing no need to disguise your difference and no need to hide away the very evidence of my unique creation. Nakedness, vulnerability, openness, without shame. That's God's heart for his people. That's God's heart for you and me. So how does God conclude his postcard? I was made mention of this morning at our 10:30 service. Probably the most cliche way to end any postcard would be wishing you were here. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I wonder if anyone's actually ever written that on a postcard. It almost sounds too cliche to be true. Kind of a time for confession. I really struggle with the word wish or wishes, so much so that on the rare occasions that I do, I recognize that maybe some of you have sent me a card. I was looking through the cards that I was sent for my ordination last year and almost thought maybe I should check through and make sure that no one sent a card saying best wishes. If you did, I'm very grateful and I'm sorry to now critique it. But I really try and avoid cards that say best wishes or wishing you, I mean, I guess the worst would be wishing you luck, but we'll get on to that another day. The reality is that wishing doesn't really seem like it means anything. You know, if they really wished that you were there, they would have taken you with them. If they really wished that you were there, instead of sending you a postcard, they'd be sending you a check for your airfare so that you could join them on holiday. Wishing doesn't really mean anything. At best, it's just throwing some good thoughts out in the air, hoping that they might land or fall on some listening ear or on some fate. I'm pretty convinced that God wouldn't end his postcard to us wishing you were here. As I said, if we truly desired for that person to be with us in that place, we would make it happen. We'd pay the cost. Perhaps God ends his postcard to us something like this. This has been my heart for you from before the beginning of time. But you have rejected me. You chose your own way. But I have made a way for you to join me in the paradise of my kingdom. Even while that kingdom is not fully here, you can know the joy, the life, the freedom, the power of my kingdom today. Everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden, everything that was lost by the first Adam, has been restored in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the postcard again in its entirety, and then I'll close in prayer. Some of you are already closing your eyes, but you might want to close your eyes and just stop snoring and allow these words to speak to you as I close. My beloved, before the beginning of time I was there, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Before there was anything that your eyes have ever seen, I was there. I created out of nothing, and at the pinnacle of my creating, I formed you out of the dust that I'd spoken into being. Then I breathed my life into you. You were created for intimacy with me. I am love itself, its author and its only perfecter. So in this garden, I give you a choice. Respond to my love with your own, or choose to go your own way. You are made to be in relationship, in fellowship, in communion, and I've given you authority. Know the joy of presiding over creation with me. My intention is for you to live without shame, knowing no need to disguise your difference, and no need to hide away the very evidence of my unique creation. This has been my heart for you from before the beginning of time. But you rejected me. You chose your own way. But I have made a way for you to join me in the paradise of my kingdom. Even while it's not fully here, you can know the joy, the life, the freedom, the power of my kingdom today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that throughout Scripture we see time and time again the desire, the depth of desire for you to be in relationship with your people. Though we are an unfaithful people, you are a faithful God. Though we walk away, you make a way back to you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the second Adam in whom we are restored and redeemed and being made whole. Lord, help us to respond to your love, to the first gift of grace in creation, with our own love. Help that not just to be word or sentiment, but to be a life poured out in obedience to you. And as we become the fragrance of Christ to this broken world, may others know and respond to your invitation of relationship given through us. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.